Welcome to the Anan Ashram podcast. For those of you who don't know, Anan Ashram is an organization founded in 1991 by our guru, Anan Krishna. One earth, one sky, one humankind is our vision. In this podcast, we will discuss everything from self-empowerment, mental health, spirituality, through the eyes of yoga and meditation. Let us now turn to the wisdom of Anan Krishna.
What is yourself and how to stay with yourself in the chaos of life? The second question, very close to this, is how to be in love or in a relationship without losing yourself. See, there is a self there. And the third question, also very close, how can I be more confident with myself and don't compare with other people? So the first question is, what is yourself? This is the core of the problem. We have not found ourself as yet. What we identify as ourself is our body, either our body or our mind or our pseudo-identities, the identities which we have earned from the society, academic, political affiliation, your nationality. If you happen to be born in the West, you're Westerner. You happen to be born here, you're Easterner. All these are pseudo-identities. Your academic achievement, whatever it is, from the school. Your name is given by your parents. They never asked you whether you like the name or no. And you're very lucky to be born in the West. If you are born in the East, immediately you're stamped. You belong to a certain religion. And that's it. If you want to change your religion, you have to go against the norms of the society. So it's more complicated. You are much more fortunate than us. You have the kind of freedom that you may not be aware of, which we do not have here. Anyway, all these are pseudo-identities. All these are added unto us. When we were born, we had no such identity, but yet we were born. We were somebody before you were given name, before I was given any name. I was already there, you were already there. So what is this identity? What is this that we are born with? I always give an example. You put a newborn baby, put the baby on top of the chest of its mother. Within 5 to 20 minutes, it will find the nipple and start sucking the milk. What is this? You were never taught. You had not gone anywhere. You were never taught to find the nipple of your mother, and yet you can find it. This is your true identity. And what is this true identity? This is intelligence. It is not intellectuality. Intellectuality is something that you receive from your school. You become intellectual. I don't know whether the word is correct, the differentiation that I make is correct or no, but in Sanskrit it is a totally different word. You are born with this consciousness, and intellectuality, scholarship, is something that you earn from your school. There is a consciousness, inherent consciousness within you. This consciousness is somehow suppressed under so many pseudo-identities. So sometime we feel we are all body, sometime we feel we are all mind, sometime we feel we are all either any one of these identities that we have, academic, politics, or anything social. We identify with one of these several pseudo-identities, forgetting our real, our true identity. Can we live with that true identity? Yes. Other identities are for certain utility, but it's not your true identity. Like you eat with a spoon. Some Easterners, they don't eat with spoon. They eat with hands, with fingers. For them, this finger is the spoon. And for us, we are used to eating with a spoon. For us, this spoon is my finger. You look at it from which angle? So, we have this extended identities. Your body is your body, my body is my body, and there is a difference. A very noticeable difference. You have a different color of skin, skin color. You have different features. I have got different features. Here we are different. On the body level, we are different. Go a bit further. Go to the level of life force, which is called prana in Sanskrit. Very often mistranslated as breathe, as breathing. So pranayama in Sanskrit, one of the yoga discipline, is translated sometimes as breath control. No, it is not breath control. It is the regulation of the life force within you through breathing. Breathing is a means, it is not the prana. You go to the energy level, and once somebody with a caliber like Albert Einstein goes just one step further than the body level, he realizes E is equal to mc square. He realizes that body, matter, and energy are actually one. Different grades, different solidity becomes matter. More subtle, it becomes energy. And once you realize this, you come to the next realization that energy never dies. It just changes form. So there, on the energy level, on the life force level, we are already getting together. Anybody with a scientific mind will come to this realization that we have this, what we call, one identity that is binding us all together. Until his last breath, until his on his deathbed, Albert Einstein was still trying to find the formula for the law of everything. One formula that can explain everything in this entire cosmos, not just the world. He was getting at that. So even if you go one point, one step farther than your body consciousness, there is already oneness. You are breathing now, I am breathing. You breathe out, you exhale and close your mouth, close your nose, you die. I breathe out, I breathe in, I keep the breath inside, and then I close, I die too. So either you breathe in and close, you breathe out or close, in both cases we die. We don't breathe, we die. What does this imply? Every time you are breathing, you are not just breathing, inhaling and exhaling some air, but you are inhaling and exhaling your life force. You can only hold this body for a few minutes without fresh air. If you do some exercises for years, maybe you can control your breath for 1 hour, 2 hours. Some people, they can control for 24 hours, but not forever. Not forever. So, what does it imply? What does this trying to tell us? Every time I'm breathing out my life force, And if you are breathing out your life force too, our life forces are getting together. And each time you breathe, you inhale again, you are inhaling a particle, a minute particle of my life force, and I'm inhaling a minute particle of your life force. There is already oneness. There is no difference.
Dear friends, should you have any questions, we welcome you to ask at AnandAshram on Instagram. Inquisit and subscribe to AnandAshram YouTube channel. For even more information, visit www.anandashram.asia. How do we attain oneness? So that we may know our true selves and, as a result, better our relationships.
You go one step further, there comes the mind. Now, here is the problem. The mind is filled with memories. And here we are different again. You see the play of this universe. Body level we are different, life force we are together. The third step, mind, our mental identity, emotional identity. When I say mind, it is both thoughts and emotions. Here we are different again. And then you grow one more level, you go back to consciousness. So the whole game is we started with consciousness. We are getting back to consciousness. And how do you know that you are conscious, that you are living consciously? The fifth one, the first one was body, anamaya kosh. The second one is prana, life force, pranamaya kosh. The third one is mental body, manomaya kosh. The fourth one is vijnanamaya kosh, intelligence or consciousness, whatever you call it. And how do you recognize a person who has reached to that level? Anandamaya kosh. He'll be in spiritual bliss. Things will go wrong. It is not that you start meditating and from tomorrow onwards everything goes right. No. Things may go wrong, but it is not affecting you. You know that nothing can really affect you, because this body belongs to you, you are not the body. The mind is yours, you are using it, but the mind also is not you. And once you identify yourself with consciousness, the electricity, these bulbs can break, you as electricity is not broken. You are not broken. You are still there. The lights can go off, something may happen somewhere, no lights, no electricity, but yet electricity is there in the atmosphere. It is never dying. So that is the true self. Come back to the first question, what is yourself and how to stay with yourself in chaos of life? The only way to keep your sanity is to remember this. Buddha used the word which has been totally mistranslated in the West. He said samasati, right remembrance. Amidst the madness of the world, the maddening crowd of the world, you remember that whatever is happening is just a show, is just a drama. You are given your role, I am given my role, and we don't have to take life too seriously. It's a game, it's a play. You play your role seriously. You are Judas, you are Judas. You are Ravana, you are Ravana. You are Jesus, you are Jesus. You are Krishna, you are Krishna. That is the key to living in Ananda, in bliss all the time. So once you know that, you will be living ever in Ananda, in your amidst the chaotic world. And then the second question, how to be in love or in a relationship without losing yourself? What do you define as love? on which level of consciousness you are. If you are on the physical level of consciousness, there is always give and take. There is always somebody is giving, somebody is taking, somebody is making profit, somebody is losing. It cannot be otherwise. If you are on a physical level, if that kind of relationship you are talking about, you could be a loser and you could be a winner. Both possibilities are there. And then if you are on a mental level, mind consciousness, same thing. It is only when you are conscious as Atma, which cannot even be translated as soul, because soul comes and goes, in the sense the spirit, the electricity that makes the computer, the laptop of your body work, and where the mind is actually just a disk there, a memory disk there. So if you're talking about consciousness, about the electricity, then you cannot love someone, but you can love, period. Once I tell you that I love you, I am already giving rise to another word, which is hatred or even indifference. If I love you, I may not be loving somebody else. Once you are on the consciousness, you are living consciously, you can only love, you cannot do anything else, because everything is manifestation of the same consciousness. So either it is love or it is infatuation. It is attraction. So yes, if you are not into that kind of love, if you are only in this relationship physically or mentally, intellectually, you know, then of course there are losers, there are winners. And this is a game. Don't be too serious. If you enjoy that game, enjoy it. You know, nobody is stopping you. Nobody is stopping you. So enjoy it until the day comes when you realize, no, all these things do not actually make me happy. Let me try to find something else. We are not really living life as it should be. We are still, you know, in the initial stage of knowing what life is. Once you know what life is, then you become compassionate. Then relationship is expanded. You are related to the entire universe, not even the entire world.
This world may be chaotic, but we must continue to remember that it is all but a theatrical play, and that we have simply been given a role. We play our role to the best of our abilities, consciously. A conscious person has a deep sense of compassion, and therefore loves and radiates their love for the world and everything in it. This is the way to knowing your true self. We hope that this has been an enlightening experience. Follow, share, and join us again soon for another episode. May all creatures